The news has been filled with people who have claimed to be something different than they are. I've been thinking about it for a while, and since it's something that does come up in both the world news and probably as office discussions and things like that, I wanted to touch on that this morning. We have in the news that Bruce Jenner claims that he always felt he was a woman. News has pointed out, though, that he's also been married 3 times. He's had 6 children, 2 from each marriage. And you look at it and you say, well, wait a minute, his words and his actions don't match. Someone who claims that he's always felt he was a woman, but yet acts in the part of a man. What was very interesting is that part of the people discussing what happened with Bruce Jenner, there was one radio show, Rush Limbaugh's show. I know the person who was calling in was just doing satire. But he called in and he was teasing that he was always black, even though he was white. And was long, elaborate spiel on that. And the very next week, we find out that there was a woman who claims that she was an African-American since she was a child, even though she's Caucasian of European descent. And she used her claim to be black to gain a scholarship. But we also find out a little later that she had once sued Howard University because she was discriminated against for being white. And again, you look at it and you say, well, wait a minute. What's happening doesn't match up. What the person claims and what the person's doing doesn't match up. But the real core problem is that these people's claims don't match the facts about who they are. And what we basically have is a bunch of people who believe that feelings triumph over reality. What I feel is more important than what reality actually says. This has actually been going on for a while. You know, after all, the homosexual movement has been going on for decades now. And it is also a denial of reality. Take a look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 26 says, for this reason God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire one toward another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the penalty of their error. The natural design is what Paul's arguing. The natural design of the body is being denied because some people insist that their feelings are more important. That their feelings somehow change what should be obvious. And I want you to think about it. If feelings trump facts, your best friend just came up to you and he says, you know what? I'm a horse. I've always felt like I'm a horse. Would you go give him a bag of oats or would you say, you know, you're pulling my leg? Now, there are certain things that are just factual. But if feelings trump facts, then there's no mental illness. The whole psychology business is for naught. Because if, for instance, a woman suffering from anorexia, thinking she's too fat when she's not, well, that can't be called misguided. line of thinking because that's the way she feels it has to be true. If a person thinks he can fly, then no one should stop him from jumping off a cliff because that's what he thinks. And somehow that's supposed to be more true than reality. Now, if you take Bruce Jenner's DNA, say he committed a crime, they found his DNA on this crime scene, and they examined it, what would you find? The evidence would point to a male. See, all the medication he's taking, all the surgeries that he has had done, is just putting on a sophisticated disguise. It really doesn't change who he is. It only changes how he appears, but not who he is. See, Paul warned that in chasing after lust, that we would have people who would deny truth. Take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to start with verse 2. It says, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But wanting their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. And will turn away their ears from truth. And will turn aside to myths." And that's what I'm finding fascinating about this whole conglomerate of all these things that go together. Is people are denying truths, hard facts in life, and would rather listen to myths. Myths that they created their own. That same letter, back in chapter 3, Paul also talks about the fact in chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. It says, "But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." That's one of the problems with sin, is that it fools not just other people, but a lot of times the people are being fooled themselves. They're being led away into deceptions. They think one way is true when it really isn't. Now, I don't even have to argue whether Bruce Jenner really feels the way he does or Rachel Dolezal feels the way she does. Those are their feelings. But is it reality? Is it truth? And why should we then put someone's myth, someone's imagination up, and say that that's more important than truth? No, actually, it's nothing more than hypocrisy. No, it's a popular thing to call somebody a hypocrite in a lot of places. But all the word hypocrite means is somebody who's putting on an act. An actor in a play. That's hypocrisy. Now, in religious sense, it's somebody who pretends to be religious when they really are not. But take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. It says, "But the Spirit," in verse 1, it says, "But the Spirit explicitly says, in latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, by means of hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron." People will become numb because of the hypocrisy, the acts, the acting of liars. And it's disguising what their true state is. Take a look at Matthew chapter 23. Jesus scolds the Jews for pretending to be something they are not. Matthew 23, starting with verse 27. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs on the outside, appearing beautiful, but in the inside they're full of dead man's bones and uncleanness. So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. It's a disguising, it's a denial of truth. But what's interesting is it's not just the individual who denies truth. It's not just the individual who says, I don't care what your reality is. Mine's the only one that matters. It's also an insistence that all of society affirm and celebrate these personal lies. See, each group is portrayed as a helpless minority. Helpless, we're told, because these people can't help but feel the way they do. Something was gone wrong. Exactly what has gone wrong has never been found. Now, in each of the cases, if you talk about either homosexuality or you talk about transgenderism or you talk about any of these other traits, people have blamed environment, they blamed culture, they blamed genetics. Study after study has found that none of those are true. Including genetics, by the way, despite what the news says. Everyone that has come up has been shot down. But repeatedly, the story is told that it can't be helped. And since they're a minority, then the right thing to do is to advocate for a helpless minority. And in doing that, what has happened is the truth is turned upside down. Completely twisted around. Morality is pushed aside as a claim for a greater good of standing up for a minority. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, it says, Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. It's condemned. The changed reality. The turn things upside down. Now, if I look out through society, I would suspect thievery is in a minority. I don't think the majority of the population steals. So why don't we have advocates for thieves to say that they have the right to steal? See, we can see some things as sins, but when those sins are more personal, somehow then they stop being sins? You know, people feel good because they stand up for what seems to be an oppressed group. But what we really have is a people who are defining their sin as their right and then gaining sympathy as a result. Now, Paul mentions in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And in verse 5, it says, Holding up a form of godliness, although they deny its power, avoid such men as these. And that's what we have as a society, as a form of godliness. They're claiming a right that they are somehow taking a higher moral stance when they're really not. They're actually advocating for sin. They deny the power of God. Now, Israel had that tendency, a tendency to prefer lies. In Micah chapter 2, Micah chapter 2 and look at verse 11. It says, if a man walking after wind and falsehood had told lies and said, I will speak out to you concerning wine and liquor, he would be a spokesman to this people. When people get what they want, even if it's not right, they prefer the lies. Take a look at Isaiah 30. Isaiah chapter 30 and look at verse 10. Who said to the seers, you must not see visions, and to the prophets, you must not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us pleasant words. Prophesy illusions. Israel had that problem. They wanted people to just tell them a lie. Tell them anything as long as it's something they'd like to hear. One often stated lie is to point out that to point out the obvious, that sin is involved in these things. The person who says that immediately is told they're involved in hate speech. And we're told then that love demands that everyone should be accepted, even while they're in a sinful state. The people claiming that to love while chasing after gain and entertainment was a problem back in Israel's day. Take a look at Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel 33, look at verse 31. It says, they come to you as people come, and sit before you as my people, and hear your words. But they do not do them, for they do the lustful desires expressed by their mouth, and their hearts go after the gain. Behold, you are to them an sensual song by one who has a beautiful voice, and plays well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not practice them. Ezekiel was told, you got a great crowd. You got a lot of people coming and listening to you. They're there for the entertainment of listening to you talk. But they don't actually put it to practice. There's a lot of people who talk a nice game. They talk about love and being concerned about people and wanting people to be accepted. But the problem is they're loving people right into hell. They don't try to make a person better. Rather, they keep them in the sinful state. In fact, what God says to Ezekiel is, and here's a clue, is that behind all of this is a motivation of money. Somebody's making money off of this. Somebody's profiting from sin. In fact, take a look also at Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, look at verse 17. Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eyes on those who cause dissension and hindrances contrary to the teachings which you have learned, and turn away from them. For such men are slaves not of our Lord Jesus Christ, but of their own appetites, and by their smooth and flattering speech they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. These people want fame, they want money, they want other things than to follow God. As I was researching for this lesson, one of the things I was surprised is there are laws have been passed in several states that actually state that you cannot help a transgender person return to normal state of mind. There are a number of states that have that. New Jersey has that. California has that. See, the conclusion then is it's wrong to teach someone to recognize the truth about themselves. But then for years, women told it's supposedly harmful to tell a homosexual that he can be led back to a heterosexual life. But then to allow people to change would deny that they are helpless in their current beliefs. And therein lies the problem. See, they made up a myth that these people are there and they can't help but be what they are. Well, if that's true, then we can't allow anybody to change them. Because then you prove that they're not helpless. And they don't have to be who they are. What's interesting is Paul McHugh has a story that was in the Wall Street Journal actually last year. It says, when children who reported transgender feelings were tracked without medical or surgical treatment by both Vanderbilt University and London's Porterman Clinic, 70 to 80% of them spontaneously lost those feelings. It was temporary. It was a phase. It went away all by itself without anybody intervening. Now, how is that then something that can't be helped? In fact, Johns Hopkins University has been well known stating that they stopped doing surgeries for transgenders because they found it did not fix the underlying problems. Oh, the people were happy with their surgery, but they still had the same mental issues from their point of view, from the Johns Hopkins point of view. For example, those who had the surgery are 20 times more likely to commit suicide. It didn't fix any problems. They just put on a disguise and they still have the problems. It shouldn't surprise us, though. We're told in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And in verse 8. It says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Man's philosophies are empty. Oh, they sound good, they sound sophisticated, but for the most part, they have no meaning. They generally are proved false over time. And as far as we are concerned, this idea that people can't change, you know, that's totally, absolutely contradictory to what Christianity is all about. Christ came to make changes in this world and changes in people. In Acts chapter 3 and in verse 19, therefore, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. A part of being a Christian is to change, to be different, to be as God made you and intended for you to be. It is a conversion that comes about by the Word of God. Take a look at Psalms 19. Psalms 19, look at verse 17. Or 7, sorry. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring or converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. God's laws restore people. God's laws convert them, change them. And people do change. In writing to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, there are a lot of people in the church there that were involved in various sins. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, it says, Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. 2,000 years ago, there is record of the fact that people change. It's not permanent. No sin is. To become a Christian is to change your life. Mankind changes all the time and often to the worse. But there's one thing that doesn't change. God doesn't change. God doesn't bend to human culture. If you want proof of that, just look at the record of the flood. In fact, we'll just read from Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 11. It says, now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their ways upon the earth. Then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. Behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. Now I want you to think about that. The whole world was filled with violence. The whole world had become corrupt. That was the norm. So has God's word then changed to match cultural norms? I should have clipped out the I just read something in today's paper. It was in there, one of the Jewish rabbis that were being quoted. He talks about how they adapt to cultural standards. God doesn't change. It doesn't matter what the whole world becomes. There's only one truth and there's only one right. In Sodom, homosexuality was common. Take a look at Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19, starting with verse 4. It says, before they laid down the men of the city, the men of Sodom, surrounded the house, both young and old, all the people from every quarter. And they called Lot and said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may have relations with them. Who was involved? It was the whole city was given over to it. Does that mean now that's the norm and heterosexuality is not normal anymore? Or that we recognize that this is the heterosexuality is the way God made man? That's the truth. See, what was commonly accepted by man doesn't translate as being accepted by God. In fact, take a look at Jude and in verse 7. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they were in the same way as these, indulged in growth in morality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example of undergoing punishment of eternal flames. Why are these stories in our Bible? To let us know God doesn't change. God holds a firm standard that man's expected to meet. And not the other way around. God's word stands. Take a look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. This will be our final verse for the morning. 1 Peter 1 verse 22, it says, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. You have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. I hope this, not a what you would call a Father's Day lesson, but what I would like you to have at least some information that when people bring this up, it is really a discussion about what is truth, what makes truth. Does a person's imagination suddenly make this true? Or does truth come from something outside people? Hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here who wishes to become a child of God, there is no better time than right now to put on Christ. To truly become a child of God. To follow after Him. If there's anyone here who is a child of God, would like the prayers of the brethren to be had, that too we have an opportunity. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song of the Selected.